Welcome again to The Christ Life. We are so excited to have these opportunities every week to be able to share with you these incredibly exciting truths that grow out of a living, powerful connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. And last week and this week, we're really focusing on that connection in this little two-part series that where we talk about fruitful living.
I was thrilled with last week's talk, just because it's so exciting when you find that there's this place that we live and that we don't have to fight for it, that it is freely given. And living in that really does bring the kind of fruitful living that every Christian, every follower of Jesus should have in their life. The big challenge is oftentimes we tend to still really fall prey to the lie of the enemy, and we look outward. We look for other things that we can go after and try to get. And so we leave home. We leave the place that the Lord wants us to, and we run around trying to find things that we think that we've been convinced by the enemy that are going to bring joy or happiness to our life. Story in 1990, a gentleman by the name of Danny Simpson lived in Ottawa, Canada. He basically was going through some struggles. He was really challenged and found himself in a place of desperation. And so he goes to his closet. He gets a handgun that had been passed down to him by his father. I guess been in family for quite some time. And he decides to go rob a bank. And he's not a very good bank robber, because he's quickly caught. He only got $6,000. But when he went to court, there were two really profound things that came out of that whole time period, that whole court for him. And I think for us, there's certainly a lesson in it. First of all, it just ruined his life. He was so desperate, he was going to go try to get this $6,000, and he went from desperation to ruin because he got sentenced to jail. But what was more interesting that came out of the trial is they began to focus in on the evidence, and they looked at the gun. The gun was a Colt 45 semi-automatic, and it actually was the kind of gun that collectors salivate over. In fact, it was made by a company by the Ross Rifle Company in 1918. Are you ready for this? That gun, of which he went out of desperation and got $6,000 that ended up getting him thrown in jail, was worth $100,000. Let that sink in. He didn't stop to think about what he had. He just focused in on what he didn't have and how to get it. Fruitful living is not about focusing on what you don't have. It's about focusing on what you have. And I would go a step further, who has you? And that's what we looked at last week, is that you got to commit to that connection. But then you have to abide. And there really is an ability of abiding. It's that staying there. Last week, we focused in on John chapter 15 and the first eight verses. And we want to pick up verse 9 and read through 17 in John chapter 15. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." That's powerful. We really could just stop there.
Yes.
When you think about that, when you know how much the Father loved the Son, and get this, his love was not based on his perfection. It was his Son. And as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. these things I have commanded you so that you will love one another. There's the fruit. Living in this love. It's the living in Christ continually. And as we live in Christ, there's where the fuel, there's where all the substance of that which we have need of comes from. It flows toward us because he's appointed you, he's called you, he's chosen you. And in that choosing now he's going to begin to reveal things to you. He's going to begin to open things up to you because everything that the Father has shown him, he's showing you and I. There's this revelation that is constantly available for us. When you look in the book of Ephesians, and Paul talks about having a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That word revelation, in the Old Testament, they would go into the outer court, and then they would go into the most holy place, but then there was the veil. And revelation is about going behind the veil, going into that place of presence. It's going into the place where the light is shining, where the things that were once hidden are now made known. And this isn't just a random revelation. This has everything to do with living in him and abiding in him so that the life of Christ that we are in ultimately begins to move in and through us. And so it starts really with this place of loving and desiring this revelation. I've often found that the reason people don't abide in the Lord, the reason they don't spend their time to really receive from him regularly, to receive the nutrients to produce the fruit, is because ultimately they just don't believe. They don't believe that that connection is going to result. But we know that there's a reason that he's appointed us. And that when you believe with your heart, you may not understand it. You may look in the mirror and wonder, why did he choose me? But when you believe in your heart that he's chosen you, then revelation begins to happen. And you're going to move toward it. You're going to begin to love to hear and know the voice of the Lord. You're going to desire to have things revealed to you on a regular basis. And it's not, there certainly is a dynamic of it that you grow into, that you learn about how the Lord does it with you uniquely from the next person. But the reality is the reason you stay there is you begin to learn it and you desire it yet even more. And then the natural extent of that revelation is now you begin to live out of that revelation. Now, because this has been revealed to me, I begin to move and operate out of that kind of revelation.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's these scriptures are so plain, so clear. You know, it's sometimes we think of revelation as this clouded, you know, thing it's a bit ethereal. It's a little hard to get a handle on, and whoop, it can just come to you. This is as clear can be. This is kind of in your face, and that's the beauty of the language that he's using. He's saying, look, I love you. The Father loves you. The because he so loves the world, he gives his only begotten Son. Because I'm living in the love of my Father, the love that he's given me is what I'm passing on to you. And so this is why you're here. This is why this is available, not because of you, but because of me. And so there's the beauty. It's what's in him. It's what he brings to the table. And you said it really well, that we run around trying to do all these things to put ourselves in the place that he's already provided for us. There's the revelation. It's like, you don't have to do all of that. You don't have to fix yourself. You don't have to somehow deserve it. You don't have to somehow prove yourself. You just have to believe and quote, receive, as many as receive him, who will just, you know, in awe probably admit to the fact that God loves me. He loves his creation. He so loves his creation that when his creation is fallen and flawed and marred by sin and incapable and pretty much unwilling to pay the price, he pays the price. He makes the way. He opens the door. He provides this eternal salvation. And now whosoever will, whosoever will. And how do you do that? You receive. This revelation comes to you, and you begin to respond. This is what connecting with God is really all about. He's come to connect with you and me. And so when we hear the or feel the knocking, and sometimes it's we think of it in our heads, but it's really more truly in your heart. When you feel this sense of, you know, of evaluation, where God is speaking to you and revealing to you that he loves you. Why would he do this? Why would he open this door? Because he's God. And because the God of heaven, the God of holiness, the God of eternal authority and power actually loves you. Yeah. He loves me. He loves us with this everlasting love. And it's to his glory that you get it. So the love that the Father gave to me and has for you is what I've passed on to you. That's what he's saying here. And so you want to stay somewhere? You want to learn to abide? This is what you got to learn to abide in. And that's the revelation. That's that thing where you go, oh. So we did a series a while back. You could probably archive this somewhere along the way and find it. But beloved, be loved. Yeah. You know, what's the word of God to you, beloved? Well, be loved. Just learn to abide in this. Learn to live in this. Because that's as good as it gets. If you, everything that's unfolded in the Old Testament, a lawyer, a law expert in the Old Testament comes to Jesus, and the record of it is in Luke chapter 10. And Jesus says to him, because he asks, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you're a law guy. You should pretty much have a handle on that. How do you read the law? And to his credit, the man says, I read the law as all summed up in this. You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. So it's all about the love of God. And Jesus, it's great. Jesus goes, way to go. That's it. Ding, ding. You win the Chevrolet. That's what you believe. Now, behave it. Do it. Live like this. You know, live in this revelation from God. And that's the reality that we have. That's the revelation that he brings to us, that we are connected through what Christ has done. And so we receive the revelation. And then in addition to revelation, one of the keys to maintaining this exciting connection with the Lord is what we call in a word rumination. Now, I know that's like a bite. That's one of those words that you typically don't hear people talk about. And unless you're a person who understands certain kinds of, you know, animals, there are animals that have a cud. There are animals that have multiple stomachs. And the animals that have this kind of a digestive capacity have the habit that is called rumination. And rumination means that from time to time, they just kind of, whatever they've already digested, whatever they've already ingested into their life, they whoop and they rechew it. They rethink it. They renew the taste of it again to themselves, and they feed on it again and again, not just because it's coming from the outside, but it's popping up from within. That is the word rumination that marries itself to the biblical concept of meditation. If you only think about meditation as some sort of an Eastern thing and mantras and chanting, you'd miss the truth. The scripture speaks a great deal about meditating on the Lord in the night seasons, especially in the times of difficulty. It's good to remember. It's good to just ruminate. It's good to rechew the truth that you already know. You don't have to find a new way out, a new truth in the middle of this. The old truth will do. And so get it right back up there and rechew that. That is rumination. And so what are we ruminating on? What is it that we're kind of meditating on and rolling over again in our minds? The glory of everything we've received from the Lord. Every bit of the revelation of God comes to us, not just in a moment and for the moment. It's a timeless, eternal word of God. And so while it comes to us in a moment, honey, it's not just for the moment. It's for as long as time rolls along. And so you can always just kind of repop this up and renew the flavor, the taste, the nutrition, the value of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's from that ultimately that there becomes a recognition of this love that we are living in. There is a dynamic where I love the Lord because I love the Lord. But this isn't talking about our love for the Lord. It's talking about, we're talking about living in the love of the Lord. And there is a distinction. When I live in the love of the Lord, I'm at a place of comfort. I'm at a place of ease. I'm at a place of, he loves me not because of what I do, but because of who I am. And ultimately, it's because of who he is that he loves me because of who I am, which is, you know, kind of this circular thing. But here's the critical piece of that. When we abide there, when we live there, then that's what ultimately prepares us. That's what helps us. That's what transforms us, is this living in that love, so that that love then begins to live in me. Jesus, when you were referring to the greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, the only way I could love the neighbor as myself is if I'm first able to live in the love of the Father, because we're going to always encounter people basically there's no human form of love for anyway. We can't bear fruit with our enemies because in my own human form, in my own human ability, I want to get rid of my enemies. They're not, I have a problem. God doesn't have a problem with them, but I have a problem with them. But when I come and I live in the love of the Lord, then I begin to discover. He gives me things to chew on that help me to have his love grow inside of me so that it may grow out of me. This is a huge recognition for every person. I think of it a little bit like this. I wouldn't go to a wedding in flip-flops and shorts, unless it was a Hawaiian-themed wedding, but I wouldn't go to a wedding that's a formal wedding in shorts and flip-flops and look around at the wedding and go, oh, I wore the wrong thing, and then change at the wedding. I wouldn't do that. A lot of people live their life like that, though. They walk into a situation where the love of Christ is required, and they went in with their own love. But it's at home that you go in the closet. So in your home, you decide what you're going to wear to whatever event that you're going to. And that's what living in the love of the Lord is. You find that he begins to reveal things to you. You chew on it. And then there's a recognition of the expression of that love that's not a love of Rich Van Praagh. It's not a love of Rex Bornman. It's a love of Jesus Christ. Yes. That begins to move through you. And that's the beauty of abiding in love, because now I can love my neighbor as myself because he first loved me. So that's why Jesus said that we're to love one another as he's loved us, because it's in that abiding that he'll begin to say, yeah, I know you have your opinion about that person because of their politics, or you have that opinion about that person because of the way they do business, or that person, whatever, you can finish it anyway. But my opinion of you wasn't based on that. My opinion on you was love. And so it's in that abiding that there becomes this recognition that he's saying, I want you to die to that. I want you to die to that so that you can become alive to my love in those moments with those people. So I think that recognition really sets us up for, and I know I went into it a little bit, but that representation.
Well, that's fine. It's hard to separate these out, because honestly, when you receive the revelation that it's the love of God, it's not this loving God. It's not just, oh, I'm gonna love my enemies or my adversaries. I'm gonna love people I don't even like. If you're gonna try to do that in your own strength, you're just gonna fail. I mean, you're just setting yourself up as though. And if you believe that's the expectation, that is not the expectation. The expectation is that you discard that and learn to receive, respond to, and recycle this love of the Lord that is provided for you, the love that God gave to me, the Son says, the Father gave to the Son, I'm passing on to you. So now we're going to learn to live and abide in this love. So you're chosen for this. You're called to this. You're ordained for this. Mm-hmm. You're pre-appointed to this. And when you get a handle on it, when that comes to you, it'll always be true. You can think about it and ruminate on it and meditate on it as much as you want to, because it's always going to be true. And when you live in that recognition, you realize that here's how it works. You know, it says pray for your enemies. I don't know about you, but the first time I ever tried to pray for my enemies, it didn't sound very good. My prayer for my enemies sounded something like, oh, God, kill them. At least make them sad. You know, make them sorry. Make them so deeply convicted that they come and apologize. and, you know, kind of beg and grovel and, you know, suffer just a little bit. That's my love. That's my cheesy, cheap version of this. But the reality is that what he wants us to do is discard that, just die to the stuff of self that isn't going to produce it anyway. Don't seek to find it outside of the vine. Don't seek to find it outside of Christ. This is an abiding in him and his love. And so when it's in you and it's really, truly the love of God, then you can begin to pray the will of God. Be done for my enemies. What is the will of God for my enemies? It's to save them, to heal them, to set them free from their sin, to heal them from the blindness that allows them to treat people so badly, that he would minister to them, that he would reveal to them this reality. Well, so then what happens? What does that look like when we begin to manifest that, when we begin to present that to someone, when we offer that as a present? That's the word, present, this present. We're going to give them this. They're going to have to say, well, where does that come from? Well, it's a re-presentation. It's the thing that he gave to me. And that's why I'm giving it to you. Everything that I've received, I can give away. Everything that in fact, here's what the Lord said. You freely receive this, you should freely give it away. I'm loving you just because I'm loving people. And so when you get that, what do? Well, you give it away. You turn that right around and you represent that to your enemies, to your friends, to anyone, to everyone, everywhere, every day. This is the glory of abiding in the Lord. This is the glory of the Christ life.
Right. As you were talking, that's exactly what I was saying. Yeah. It is the Christ life. Yeah. And we sure would like to hear your stories and how the Lord is working in you and through you, even if you just take a moment and post it down below, because those kinds of stories, those testimonies speak to those who are searching for love in a loveless world, and could give an opportunity for you to share the love of Jesus Christ. And we are believing that not only is God working in you, that God is also going to work through you. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.